Democrats search for answers after Roe versus Wade is overturned. Generation Z reconsiders a life of promiscuity and hedonism to the media's consternation. And the Supreme Court upholds religious freedom. Again, I'm Ben Shapiro. This is The Ben Shapiro Show. The Ben Shapiro Show is sponsored by ExpressVPN. Protect your online privacy today at expressvpn.com/Ben. We'll get to all the news in just one moment. First, you're paying way too much for your cell phone bill. I mean, I know you're paying way too much for everything right now because Joe Biden is president and he's terrible, but this is also true of your cell phone provider. And you're paying for like a lot of extra stuff you're not actually using. Verizon, AT&T, T-Mobile, they charge you a premium fee every month for data you don't actually use. So why are you paying for things you don't use? That's a silly thing to do. Instead of paying $89 a month to your current provider, pay just $20 to Pure Talk for what you actually need. I made the switch. I'll be honest, I was nervous at first thinking, is the coverage really going to be good? Am I going to drop calls or have slow internet? I can tell you firsthand, the 5G service is that good because they use the same tower network as one of the big guys. Switching to Pure Talk is super simple. So listen, if you've been sitting on the fence because, you know, the big phone company propaganda got you, don't do it anymore. Go to puretalk.com, select a plan, enter promo code Shapiro, save 50% off your very first month. You can literally be switched over to Pure Talk service in less than 10 minutes. Go to puretalk.com, enter promo code Shapiro to get started. Again, that's puretalk.com. Enter promo code Shapiro. I did it myself. My parents have done it also. It's very easy to switch over. You can keep your phone. You might be able to get a new phone. Go check them out right now at puretalk.com. Use promo code Shapiro to get started and save 50% off your very first month of coverage. Well, people are very upset about Roe versus Wade and the entire news cycle is being eaten by Roe versus Wade. It's easy to forget that there are other things happening in the world, and those things are actually far likelier to affect the 2022 election than the overturning of Roe versus Wade, which, as I have said, is an issue that is likely to be relegated back to the states. It will become an issue in terms of state legislative elections all over the country, but in terms of federal congressional elections, probably not. There are other issues that are going to matter more to people. I'm just putting it out there right now because it is currently June 28th. The elections are not until November. So those issues are going to include things like the fact that we have a massive immigration crisis on the border that the media have largely been ignoring. We have record numbers of illegal immigrants who are arriving at our southern border, record numbers of people being turned away, and record numbers of people who are entering. They're being both monitored by Border Patrol and also escaping Border Patrol. They're being ushered into the country and released into the interior. And when you have an open border with no serious efforts at creating an actual immigration policy, what you end up with is human rights atrocity. And that's exactly what happened in San Antonio last night. According to KSAT.com, 46 people were found dead in a tractor trailer on the southwest side. 16 have been transported to area hospitals, according to San Antonio police and fire officials. It's tragic, said San Antonio Mayor Ron Nirenberg. They had families, were likely trying to find a better life. It's nothing short of a horrific human tragedy. Authorities said this is the largest mass casualty event they have seen in San Antonio. Apparently, this is an immigration issue. Officials would not immediately confirm if the victims were migrants or what country they were from. San Antonio Police Chief William McManus said officers received a call 10 minutes before 6 p.m. Monday to the 9600 block of Quintana Road when a person working nearby heard a cry for help. When the worker approached, he saw several bodies inside an 18-wheeler trailer with its doors partially open. Crews with the San Antonio Fire Department arrived at the scene, and they found stacks of bodies in the trailer and many people too weak to let themselves out. According to the SAFD Chief Charles Hood, 46 people, men and women, ranging from teens to young adults, were pronounced dead at the scene. He said they died from heat stroke and heat exhaustion because the trailer had no air conditioning and no water. Temperatures reached more than 100 degrees on Monday, which means people were basically cooked inside this truck. The Mexican Secretary of External Relations tweeted Monday night, the 46 people died of asphyxiation. At least two of the people in the trailer were from Guatemala. The survivors were rushed to local hospitals with heat-related injuries. Apparently, again, this is the predictable result of a homeland security failure. And the fact that we have no actual policy at the southern border, the fact that migrants are being trafficked across the southern border by some of the worst people on earth, and that the federal government not only does nothing about it, but seems to poo-poo the idea of doing anything about it, is going to be not only a blot on this administration, but is going to be a continuing issue in politics for the foreseeable future until the United States decides to lock down its border in a serious and real way and have some sort of predictable and administratable system by which we can bring in people who legitimately ought to be in the country and by which we can reject people who ought not. Otherwise, you're going to end up with more and more situations like this. This is a mass casualty event in the United States due to bad border policy by the federal government. It is that simple. Meanwhile, the economy continues to be in the doldrums. According to the Wall Street Journal, the current inflation was sparked by fiscal policy. The government printed or borrowed about $5 trillion and sent checks to people and businesses. The U.S. has borrowed and spent before without causing inflation. People held the extra debt as a good investment. That this stimulus led to inflation thus reflects a broader loss of faith that the U.S. will repay its debt at all. The Federal Reserve's monetary policy tools to cure inflation are blunt. By raising interest rates, the Fed pushes the economy toward recession. It hopes to push just enough to offset the stimulus's fiscal boost, but monetary brakes and a floored fiscal gas pedal mistreat the economic engine. Raising interest rates can lower stock and bond prices and raise borrowing costs, cutting into home construction, car purchases, and corporate investment. The Fed can interrupt the flow of credit, but higher interest rates don't do much to discourage people from spending government stimulus checks. At best, the economy is unbalanced. The economy needs investment in housing. Today's demand is tomorrow's supply. This is according to John Cochran, writing for the Wall Street Journal. Slowing the economy isn't guaranteed to reduce inflation durably anyway. Even in the 2008 recession, with employment above 8%, core inflation fell only from 2.4% in December to 0.6% in October 2010, and then bounced back to 2.3% in December 2011. At this rate, even temporarily curing 6% May 2022 core inflation would take a dismal recession. So a lot of the Biden administration policy is not going to be solved by simply the idea that the Federal Reserve is going to raise those interest rates. Says Cochran, senior fellow at the Hoover Institution, monetary policy alone can't cure sustained inflation. The government will have to fix the underlying fiscal problem. Short-run deficit reduction, temporary measures, accounting gimmicks will not work. Neither will a bout of growth-killing, high-tax austerity. The U.S. has to persuade people that over the long haul of several decades, it will return to its tradition of running small primary surpluses that gradually repay debts. That outcome requires economic growth, which raises long-run taxable income. Raising tax rates alone is like climbing a sand dune. Each rise hurts income growth. The U.S. also needs spending reform, especially on entitlements. The good news is inflation can end quickly if there is joint fiscal, monetary, and economic reform. The inflation targets New Zealand, Israel, Canada, and Sweden adopted in the early 90s are good examples. They included both deep fiscal and economic reforms. The question is whether Joe Biden's going to do any of that. And right now, the appearance is no. He's just going to ignore reality on the ground. And this is particularly true with energy production. I mean, you may not have noticed, but gas is still well above $5 a gallon almost every place in the United States. And Joe Biden, whose plan seems to be that he is going to just go to the UAE and the Saudis and ask them to pump more without actually allowing for significant loosening of restrictions on investment in oil and natural gas in the United States. He was told by Emmanuel Macron at the G7 yesterday, he was caught on camera, Macron, telling Biden, they don't have any more gas to pump. They cannot increase their supply. You need to start increasing your supply like forthwith. Your bad green policy, the same policy the French adopted and the Germans and the rest of the Europeans at the behest of a whiny 17-year-old Swedish teenager. Those policies are a giant failure, according to Emmanuel Macron, French president.
Told me two things. One, I'm at the maximum, what he claims, and this is my commitment. Second, told me, according to us, the Saudis can increase a little bit, but 150 or a little bit more, and they don't have huge capacities. At this stage, before 6 months' time. The last one, the very last point is about.
And Biden's like,
where's my pudding?
Macron's telling him straight up, UAE and Saudi do not have the capacity to pump the way you want them to. He's begging him to pump more.
And Biden's like, yeah, but Matlock's on.
Joe Biden's economic plans, they are garbage. And even the French president knows that at this point. Well, here's the thing. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen openly admitted that she blew it when it came to inflation just last month. This person, she's supposed to be the authority on our nation's economic policy. She said in a statement to CNN, I was wrong about the path inflation would take. There have been unanticipated and large shocks to the economy that have boosted energy and food prices and supply bottlenecks that have affected our economy badly that at the time I didn't fully understand. So now we're supposed to believe that they do understand and they get it now and they're going to fix everything. Or alternatively, maybe you should not trust them, which is why you should invest at least some of your money in gold and silver with Birch Gold Group. Protect your savings from a highly turbulent economy by diversifying your 401k or IRA into physical gold. It's not too late for you to take action right now. Text BEN to 989898. Get a free info kit on diversifying and protecting your savings with precious metals. Birch Gold Group has an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau, countless five-star reviews, thousands of satisfied customers. Text BEN to 989898. Get real advice from Birch Gold today. Again, text BEN to 989898. Claim your free, no-obligation info kit on protecting your savings with gold. Text BEN to 989898. Get started today with my friends over at Birch Gold. So here's the thing. While the media are consumed with the, I think, unbased position that abortion is going to decide the 2022 elections, I have serious reservations about whether that is the case. I do not think abortion is going to be the key issue in 2022. I don't think it's going to be the key issue on the election front in 2024, 2026, 2028, or beyond. The reason I say this is because I am almost certain that the Supreme Court of the United States, in delegating this issue back to the states the way that it was for literally all of American history, has basically now said that the Congress of the United States is not going to be the chief mechanism by which abortion policy is decided. that if this is going to be decided on a federal level, it will have to be done through constitutional amendment. And the reason I say this is because the same court that just overruled Roe versus Wade also happens to believe in the basic precepts of federalism. And there is no delegated power to the Congress of the United States to actually pass wide-scale pro-abortion or pro-life legislation via the powers that are delegated to it by the Constitution of the United States. You have to actually have a delegated power under the Constitution in order for Congress to do something. Typically, that means commerce power. So you will see, for example, the Partial Birth Abortion Ban Act that passed in the 2000s. Again, this is a major issue inside the feminist movement. It's been a major issue inside the feminist movement for years. One of the big ideas of the feminist movement, in fact, is the idea that the reason that women act the way they do is because of cultural indoctrination. Right, so this is why Simone de Beauvoir was writing in The Second Sex in 1949. Everything helps to confirm this hierarchy in the eyes of the little girl. The historical and literary culture to which she belongs, the songs and legends with which she is lulled to sleep, are one long exaltation of man. Children's books, mythology, stories, tales, all reflect the myths born of the pride and desires of men. Thus, it is through the eyes of men, the little girl discovers the world and reads therein her destiny. So the argument of the left is always that all of the institutions are biased in favor of things like, for example, marriage or child rearing. And if we just blow up the institutions, then we can all truly be free to be who we want. And that will be the new magic utopia. That's the vision of the left. And it's being spelled out fully by Sonia Sotomayor in that dissent in the religious freedom case. So you have two contrasting visions. Contrasting vision number one, we have a system in which sexual responsibility is taught and forwarded. We have a system in which marriage is seen as an actual good. We have a system in which we try to protect the lives of the unborn because that, in fact, is our future. We have a system in which we don't establish religion, but public practice of religion is a good thing and treat it as a good thing. And then on the other side, we have an idea that your private sexual activity is made public. Everyone is forced to celebrate that private sexual activity. We are supposed to treat the killing of the unborn as a fundamental right that guarantees you the ability to lead your sexually fluid lifestyle as far as you wish. And we're going to indoctrinate your children in these principles. Which one of those directions do you think the United States is likely to take? Which direction do you think the United States is likely to take? And you're starting to see this come out in the actual policy that's being pursued by the Democratic Party. Now, the Democratic Party does not have a lot of options when it comes to actual abortion policy at this point, because again, the federal government is no longer in the abortion business. The Supreme Court of the United States effectively just delegated this thing back to the states. But Democrats have to say something to their constituents about why, if you elect more Democratic senators, then magically they'll be able to put Roe back in place. And so they've been struggling to come up with some sort of solution, and they're not really coming up with much. Now, Joe Biden, apparently, so here are his sort of minor solutions. One, he's going to allow federal employees to use sick leave to get abortion now. According to LifeNews.com, without actually mentioning the word abortion, the Biden administration swiftly created a new pro-abortion benefit for federal employees. Bloomberg reports the U.S. Office of Personnel Management published a document on Monday stating that federal employees now may use sick days if they or one of their family members needs to travel for quote-unquote medical care. By medical care, they mean abortion. The document does not mention abortion, but the Biden administration believes killing unborn babies and abortion is medical care. The document states that federal employees who find it necessary to travel longer distances, including out of state to obtain medical care, are allowed to use sick days. If the leave is less than 3 days, the employee doesn't need to give a reason to their supervisor. If it's longer, the doctor's excuse, quote, need not contain details regarding the medical examination or treatment. So obviously, this is the federal government now in the business of effectively using your taxpayer dollars to subsidize abortions, because that is what it is. I mean, that seems like a basic violation of the Hyde Amendment, because if you're paying for somebody's sick day and the sick day is being used to do an abortion, that would be subsidization of abortion. The federal government using your taxpayer dollars to pay somebody to go get an abortion. That's what Joe Biden wants. Meanwhile, Elizabeth Warren is out there saying, what if we set up abortion clinics in national parks? I'm not kidding. She now wants to use federal dollars, not just to subsidize abortions, but it'll be like you drive into Yellowstone and there's just a Planned Parenthood to kill your baby. So drop your kids off at daycare and then the one that's still in your uterus, just leave it at Yellowstone. You know? She says, they could put up tents, have trained personnel, and be there to help people who need it. It's time to declare a medical emergency. Their solution is tents in national parks for abortion. That's how much they love abortion. We're going to turn Yosemite into an abortion clinic. Well, for her part, Kamala Harris was asked about whether abortion services would now be available on federal land. She's like, yeah, we can't, like, no. Like, under what rubric could we even do? When Kamala Harris is saying no to things, you know it's pretty radical.
Can the administration expand abortion access or abortion services on federal land? Meaning provide the access on federal land that might be in and around states that ban abortion?
I think that what is most important right now is that we ensure that the restrictions that the states are trying to put up that would prohibit a woman from exercising what we still maintain is her right, that we do everything we can to empower women to not only seek but to receive the care where it is available.
Is federal land one of those options?
I mean, it's not right now what we are discussing.
So what are they discussing? They're discussing the possibility of sending travel vouchers to women who want an abortion. So again, the Hyde Amendment says that the federal government will not spend taxpayer dollars to subsidize abortion. This has been a longstanding part of bipartisan American policy going back to the 90s. And now she's basically talking about just trashing it. She says, we're going to send travel vouchers for abortion. So you can go to Abortion Disneyland over in California.
Women who have access to resources will probably be far less impacted by this decision than women who don't have resources. So this is something that we are looking at because we know, for example, in terms of how this is going to actually impact real people, over half of women who receive abortions in America are moms. It means that they may have to put up money for a train or a bus or a plane, much less a hotel. And so we want to make sure that there does not result extreme disparities or any disparities based on who can receive care based on how much money they've got.
So you, the American taxpayer, you know, you paid for your family, you're paying for public education, you're paying for welfare, you're paying for everything else. You're not going to pay for some woman who got pregnant to travel out of state to get an abortion. I hope that in a time of recession that you're up for this challenge. The HHS secretary, Xavier Becerra, who again has no record in health, and it's amazing. I mean, they literally just took a guy who was like the AG of California doing a crap job. And like, what if we just made him HHS secretary? So Xavier Becerra, he says the same thing. He says, we're going to actually use federal taxpayer dollars and pay people to go out of state for abortions.
We are looking into everything, including assisting in transportation, something that HHS doesn't typically do.
Can you do that legally?
Talk to me later.
A big question, right?
I always tell my team at HHS, if you've done your homework, then we have no right to do mild. And so we're going to be aggressive and go all the way. And I would tell you if you're recording, so I won't tell you. So
this is all on the record, yeah. Mr. Secretary.
We are looking at every option, and among those is transportation.
There are other options, too. So how many of your taxpayer dollars can they spend on abortion? Because the culture of sexual license must be preserved at all costs. That is what America is all about. I mean, Nancy Pelosi literally said that. She went on a drag queen show with RuPaul and said that that's what America is all about. So if that's the party that you wish to vote for, really go for it. Nancy Pelosi says we should kill the filibuster in order to get all of these things done. So remember, the party that is very much in favor of democratic institutions and historic institutions, and they're very angry at Donald Trump because he attacked institutions. They want to tear down the Supreme Court, abolish the Senate, get rid of the filibuster, and, you know, maybe just take over all policy at the regulatory level. So she said that she wants to kill the filibuster. She listed bullet points outlining the goals of legislation she will introduce, including having personal data stored in reproductive health apps, clarifying that Americans have a constitutional right to travel freely across the country. I mean, first of all, Justice Kavanaugh says that in his concurrence in Dobbs. So thank you, Nancy Pelosi. And then she wants to pass the Women's Health Protection Act, which would enshrine Roe versus Wade into the law of the land. You don't actually have the power to do that. Women's Health Protection Act is wildly unconstitutional. There's no basis for enshrining Roe at the congressional level. And then she said that we should get rid of the filibuster in order to make all of this stuff happening. She said, quote, we need to eliminate the filibuster so that we can restore women's fundamental rights and freedom for every American. These are fans of the institutions, folks. These are the people that you ought to trust with the institutions. I mean, honestly, I'm not too surprised by Nancy Pelosi, considering that when she's not in favor of killing unborn children, she's also just elbowing them out of the way. She was present at the swearing in of Maya Flores, who is the new congresswoman, first Mexican-American congresswoman from Texas, Republican. And Flores's kids were there. And Nancy Pelosi doesn't like to be too close to the kids. I mean, kids are uncomfortable. She doesn't like it too much. So the kids are trying to get in on the picture. Nancy's like, well, what if I just, she just takes that elbow and pushes them out of the way.
We wanted our pastor to come into the picture.
Here she goes in, and then, oh, there it goes. There's that elbow. And then we got the slow-mo. Let's put it in slow-mo. Run that back. Monday Night Football. Oh! There it is. Yep. I'm going to need you to move away, small child. I'm going to need you. Please move away from me. I love children.
To eat!
So here's the thing. the basic premise that the media are now pushing is that what people care most about is the level of legislation in a given state with regard to abortion or at the federal level with regard to abortion. That is not how people vote. The way that people vote is they have a generalized perception of the people whom they are voting for or against. If they had voted based on policy in 2020, Joe Biden would not be president right now. And they voted for Joe Biden because they didn't like Donald Trump's personality and they had a certain perception of how he was running the government. The same thing is going to happen in 2022. The Democratic Party has wed itself. It's a completely anti-life party in the sense that I think there may be one congressperson in the entire Democratic Party and in the House of Representatives who counts himself pro-life, maybe two. Okay, they've decided to move radically in